to 1 John chapter 4. Bobby was a special education boy. He was just bright enough to remain in a regular classroom, but was still noticeably different. He was the constant butt of jokes by his classmates, but he never seemed to mind. Every day as the neighborhood kids walked home from school, Bobby's mother would look out the window and see them all laughing and joking together, all except Bobby. He was always walking behind the others, all alone. It was obvious that the other children felt uncomfortable around him and shunned him. One day, Bobby burst into the kitchen after school. "Mom, guess what?" he said. "Valentine's Day is 2 weeks away, and our teacher said we could make valentines and give them to the other kids in our class." His mother's heart sank as she pictured yet another opportunity for Bobby to be excluded. "Mom," Bobby continued, "I'm going to make a valentine for every person in my class." "That's very nice, Bobby," his mother answered, fighting back the tears. Over the next 2 weeks, Bobby worked every afternoon on those valentines. They truly were labors of love. When the big day finally came, he was so excited about taking his valentines to school that he couldn't eat breakfast. But he was also a little worried. "I hope I didn't forget anybody," he said as he dashed off to school. Bobby's mother made a fresh batch of his favorite cookies and prepared herself to comfort her son when he returned home brokenhearted from the Valentine exchange. She knew how disappointed he would be with the response he got from the other children. That afternoon, she saw the same cluster of neighborhood kids walking home together. A half block behind, all alone, was Bobby. Bobby's mother turned away and placed a plate of cookies on the table. Much to her surprise, Bobby came through the door with a huge smile on his face. "What is it, Bobby?" she asked. "How did it go?" With a shout of pure joy, Bobby said, "Guess what, Mom? I didn't forget a single kid." See, that little boy showed love, unbiased, not dependent on what others did for or to him. Oh, that we would learn to show that kind of love. Paul tells us in Philippians 1:27, and I want you to listen to this. Don't turn to it, just listen. "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Allow me to read from Alistair Begg. He's the guy that has, I think, Scottish accent in the evenings. If those of you that are up later than 9 o'clock actually listen. I think it's 9. "The way we dress, the way we smile or scowl, the way we carry ourselves, the tone and content of our speech, every day we are always making statements to those around us about what really matters and what life truly consists of. For Christians, such statements should be in harmony with the gospel." So Paul called the Philippians to close the gap between their beliefs and their behavior, between the creed they professed and the conduct they displayed. Christ's call to us today is no different. Even so, however mature we are in the faith and however much we close the gap, there always remains more to do. So what kind of statement should our actions make? Simply this: the gospel of Christ is a gospel of love. Not merely in the words you say, not only in the deeds confessed, but in the most unconscious way is Christ expressed. So pause to think about how you will dress today, when you will smile, when you will scowl, how you will carry yourself today and the tone and content of your speech today. What kind of statements are you making to the world? Let them be ones that are worthy of the gospel of love. I don't think I need to tell you that we're living in a loveless society today. I'm not talking about sensual love. That's very prevalent. I'm talking about true love, the love that God designed and demonstrated. People everywhere are seeking desperately for love that lasts, love that fills the void, and they're looking for it in all the wrong places. And I've read this before, but I'm going to read it because it fits. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for us in all the wrong faces. I'm always looking for lust when I'm wine drunk and faded. Looking for love, I think we should make it. I was once told I'm too young to settle, but age ain't a thing, I'm just too sentimental. Looking for someone to write all the words to my instrumental, and if I give you my heart, promise you'll be gentle. 'Cause I'm feeling lonely, hold me. Tell me that you think I'm pretty. Show me how to love, and then show me how to love again. That's sad. Let's read now from 1 John 4, 7 to 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. I'm reminded of the simple chorus, love, 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 love. The gospel, in a word, is love. Love your neighbor as your brother, father, sister, mother, whatever you wanted to put in there. The gospel in the word is love. John is telling us very clearly how to share the gospel, and it's displayed by showing love. I'm calling this message, The Gospel is Love. And I want to start by telling you that love started with God. Verse 7, and if you just keep your Bibles open, I'm not necessarily going to reread anything today, but I'm going to be paraphrasing and referring back to different passages that we just read. So just keep your Bibles open there. Verse 7 clearly says that love, true love, started with God. Verse 7 says, love is of God. To truly get a grasp of the significance of the message that the gospel is love, everyone fully needs to understand that true love originated from God. He invented it. He designed it. He displayed it. And he showed us how to give it. And he gave it to us. Do you know that why the type of love that people are seeking today in all the wrong places isn't working, isn't lasting? It's because it didn't start with God. It started with his enemy, Satan. He likes to take anything that God created and designed and make it dirty. The beautiful subject of love that God created, Satan has masterfully twisted into something perverted and sensual. That's not what love is. Love is pure, it's real, it's healing, it's calming, it's beautiful. Why? Because God created it. Everything God created, when he was done creating it, he said, it is good, and love is good. Don't confuse sensuality and lust and all that we see today with love. God designed love, and it goes way beyond outward expressions. It goes deep into the heart. How many times have you seen a movie or a TV show, and there's a couple that are definitely not following God's design in love, if you can read between my lines there, and they'll say, well, I thought you were pretty serious, because they're doing things that God doesn't recommend, and, oh, no, it's just a casual relationship. It's not in the heart, it's just outward. Then I want to show you, that wasn't in my notes, by the way, then I want to show you that showing love is a sign of truly knowing God. In verses 7 and 8, John clearly states that Christians are to love one another. Love comes from God, and if a person knows God, then they must show love. And if they don't, they don't really know God. It's that simple. So stop and think about it for a bit. Everything about God is love. We already established that He invented it. He designed it, true love. So how can you really have a relationship with God, who invented love, while not showing love? So if you want to grow closer to God and have a deeper relationship with Him, then you need to show love. If you don't, then it's pretty obvious that you don't really know Him very well. I use my wife as an example. Hopefully this comes across okay. But there are times when I'm exasperated because she doesn't get me. Right? I'll say, how long have we been married and you still don't know this about me? Why are you laughing? You have that same conversation? Nelson, you have trouble with that? You should by now be able to know what my next move is going to be. You should know me. Have you ever asked that? Have you ever asked a close friend that question? Well, ask yourself the question, how long have I known God? Am I really living like I know Him? Because if you truly know God, you'll be showing love. And I truly believe, actually, it's obvious. There are people who say they're Christians and even believe that they are Christians, but they truly are not, because they have yet to display love to others. You know, that sounds harsh, what I just said, but that's what Scripture states. If you aren't showing love, you don't know God. Folks, knowing God means showing love. It's really that simple. And this might lead to the question of, well, how do we show love? And I'll point you to the fact that God loved us first and showed us how to love. Verse 9 and 10 gives a very clear picture of God's example of love to us. And here's where I want to paraphrase, and I hope you don't mind me doing this on my own words. It spoke to me this way. 9 and 10 paraphrase to me would say, this is how God showed us His love to us. He sent His only Son to live in this messed up world so that we could have eternal life with Him someday. This is the depth of His love to us. Not that we loved Him and earned His love, but that he loved us first by sending His Son to die for us. And I know in our humanity we can't really grasp the significance of this. God showed love to us the most magnanimous way possible. He sent His Son to die for us. And if that wasn't enough, we can reference that passage that says, while we were still sinning, Christ died for us. We didn't even have to want it. We didn't have to earn it. He just gave it with no strings attached. Do you give something to someone if they don't want it? Not usually. See, that's such an incredible example of love. It's not even remotely possible to live up to that example. But think if God would have set the bar and example for love so low that we could easily reach it. What's the point? We can't begin to show the kind of love that God showed us. But what we can do is show love without expectation. Without expecting any in return. How often do we show love expecting you're going to reciprocate to us? That's the example Jesus left. Whether or not we give it back, he's going to give it to us. So John goes on to tell us that we should love, show love to others. It's a really powerful statement in verses 11 and 12. And John is saying that God loved us so much that we should show love to others. And let me paraphrase again, verse 12. Many people do not know God. Their only chance to see God is through us. We are to show them God. How? Through our love for them. If they see our love for them, then God's love is doing exactly what he intended for it to do. It's working perfectly. You see that phrase is made perfect? I think that's what that means. It's God's love is working perfectly. It's doing exactly what he intended for it to do. Have you ever heard the phrase that we need to be Jesus to others? There are many people that will never meet Jesus unless they see him through us. I think of the song, Let Them See Jesus, or I'm not sure exactly the words, I couldn't find it, but how do they see him through us? By our love displayed to them. We have such an incredible mission to show Jesus to the world through our love. And then let me paraphrase again what John says in verse 13. If we are doing this, then we know that we truly are Christians. His spirit of love is in us and being displayed to others. The word spirit here, I feel, means the spirit-filled attitudes that he wants us to possess, love being the greatest. So if you are showing Jesus to others, then you truly are in Christ. And verses 14 to 16 are somewhat of a recap. God sent his Son to be our Savior, and whoever believes in him will abide with the Father. But in 16, there's a statement that I think is pretty special. If we believe in God, we believe in his love. If we abide in God, we abide in his love, and vice versa. There's a song that says you can't have one without the other. Well, you can't have love without God, and you can't have God without love. Now, in case you get to this point and you think, how in the world am I to do this? It's a scary world. We already established that earlier. I'm afraid to witness. I'm afraid to be open about my faith and tell others. Well, if that's you, then 17 and 18 should be very encouraging to you. Again, I'll paraphrase. This love that God gave us can work perfectly because he will give us the courage to show his love to others. Just as we live in this world, so the Father sent his Spirit to be right with us, giving us courage to share his love with the world. True love doesn't fear, but rather it casts out fear. Therefore, we don't need to be afraid. And if we are afraid, then we need to ask ourselves if we truly accepted love from God in the first place. You know, I've read that verse so many times, and I think I took it out of context. I think that verse is genuinely telling us we don't need to be afraid of showing love to the world. Because if we genuinely have love in our hearts, we won't be afraid of showing it to others. Yeah, it's scary. We never know what to expect. But God's love drives away fear. We don't need to be afraid of sharing his love. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. So my question is, are we sharing his love? And verse 19 sums up this series of truths. All of this starts with his love. We love him because he first loved us. So if I was to put this whole portion into a sentence, we can show love to others because he first showed love to us. So again, I ask, are we doing that? It's not a simple question. It's a tough one. Then we have the test of our love. The sign of really loving God is loving others. Some time ago, we had a Wednesday night discussion on how we show love to God. Humanly, it's impossible to do that. It's impossible to wrap our heads around. How do you love someone you cannot see? You know, I struggled with that for some time. And as I was working through it and I found some scriptures on this, I brought it to our Wednesday night group and we discussed it. But I think John 14:15 says it best. If you love me, keep my commandments. We show our love to God by our obedience to Him. I feel that's the simple answer for it. So throughout this passage that we read, 1 John 4, we're admonished to love others. So ask yourself the question, am I obeying that? If I am obeying it, then I truly do love God. I want to reread 20 and 21 again. Some of the strongest verses, in my opinion, on love and hate in Scripture. And it's really a test of our love for God. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. How many times have you flippantly said, yeah, I love God, yeah. But do we? We can't see God, but we can see others. Are we treating them the way God wants us to treat them? I don't want to be a liar. I want to show God's love with his help. And I have witnessed this very thing being played out very negatively. Someone who puts on a persona of very spiritual and very holy image that I'm just so good, but yet they're not loving others. God says that's a flat-out lie. You don't love me. You aren't showing love to others. How can you say you love me? Strong words. I can almost hear God say, you say you love me, then prove it. Love others. My conclusion today is a real simple one. I'll read my text verse again, my key verse. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Love, 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 love. The gospel, in a word, is love. Love your neighbor as your brother. The gospel, in a word, is love. Stand with me, please. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word and the beauty in it. The world around us is desperately looking for love, and through your help, would you help us to show them? Help us erase all of the fears that are come with stepping out of our comfort zone and showing love like you would want us to do that. And would you help us to genuinely show love to others? We thank you for your love to us, and it's only through that that we can show to others. We thank you and we praise you. In your name, amen. You can be seated or remain standing. It's not going to take me long. Just give me a second to shut this down.